I said, you've invented yourselves, every man that's ever lived.
Thanks.
Once the fall took place, had to invent himself. And you take, you watch styles, and you watch people you admire, and you watch people you don't like, and you create a being that has your name on it. But you're not real, you've never existed. It's only this mystery of iniquity who has been masquerading as you your whole entire life. People don't like to hear that. You've always been a vessel for deity. You were born a vessel for the God of this world. And that has to be replaced by the death, by seeing all of Adam. Jesus was the last Adam, and you died with him on the cross. Now there's a new creation that holds no reference to you. The new creation is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is eternal. He has always been. And he must become your only self. And the only way that that can happen is by the vehicle of the mystery of the cross. The acceptance, not just acceptance once, but the constant living of mortifying your flesh. Mortify just means to consider dead already. Otherwise, you're going to walk in deception, like Tom, and have all kinds of opinions about what's right and wrong, have all kinds of political opinions.
Where's Nick when you need him?
Is that clear to everybody?
Mm-hmm. So are we to have no opinions about anything?
Well, opinions are stands. Opinions are judgments made by the instead of Christ, who is sitting in you as the temple, judging for himself good and bad. So all opinions have either good or bad. They're comparisons. And he that is wise doesn't compare. The only way you'll ever reckon yourself crucified or accept the understanding of the cross is to know that you are the chief of sinners. That you, otherwise, you'll always try to find somebody to judge down so you can be better than at least one other person. Why did that bring a little smile?
Oh, it's kind of like the greater fool story, you know what I mean?
I don't know that story.
Oh, well, you know, you're trying to sell something. Somebody sells you something, it turns out to be something rotten. But you have to find a greater fool than you.
Oh, okay.
You know, you've heard that.
I haven't, but it's a good story. Now, the issue then is, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. How do you live? You live in total abandonment of yourself. That's what repentance is. Every time the I motive enters its head, its evil head, and it's always repentance. You walk in repentance. And you're just faithful to whatever's set before you. And I'm not asking anybody to be as stupid as I was, but you just remain, most people remain in the calling in which they're called. You don't go run around and do strange things. You remain in the calling. But now it's faith which worketh by love instead of cause and effect. You're just faithful to whatever's set before you. He's established the bounds of our habitation. Therein we live. Amen?
Amen. You stuck with it.
Hmm?
You stuck with it.
one. I didn't like it at all.
Well, I don't like it either. That's my comment on Pete's amen. That's what it means to me. You're stuck with it.
Yep.
Well, but you have to learn to love it.
Acceptance is loving.
Because it is so far greater than anything that you could have ever imagined.
Hey, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
That's why their addicts exist. All addicts that have ever been around here exist, so Tom can see how addicted to self he is.
Like I said, where's Nick when you need him?
Well, I thought you meant the addicts of his imagination.
Yeah. And Dick.
I got
you. Which is a dick.
She didn't see that one coming.
Huh?
Didn't see that one coming.
You didn't see that? Especially it'll let go right down the stream. Sandra, do you understand? You don't like the idea of you having an advantage yourself.
No, I understand. I mean, basically it's the same thing over and over and over again. It's just the dying to self. And I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to get around, gosh, I created this person. You know, but we have.
Well, this morning we were talking about, and I was referring to one of the Wednesdays we had a couple months ago where we were talking and you mentioned, my God, how can I go back to work tomorrow? How can I plan my vacation next August? How can I find, and we talked about that this morning. Dolly was saying the same thing. Your calling is your calling and living within the confines of,
well, you don't take God where he isn't. God is only right in the now, so you don't go past, so you don't go future.
Yeah.
Now, if your job demands that you plan a time for your vacation, then you have to do that. But you do that out of love, not of something that...
necessity or need or...
Right.
Anxiousness.
But how do you know the difference? Well, that's the knife edge. But it is as big as it gets. Now, as for me, while we're studying this pre-Adamic man, is because I knew that the earth was more than 6,000 years old, and yet these fundamentalist Christians were saying the earth was 6,000 years old. And if the Bible said that, I was going to throw, that was just, an, I thought I caught God, and I was going to be able to throw the whole damn thing out and return to my great ideas and plans. So I started an intense study of, was the rage of the earth really? And I started in Genesis 1 and started reading the meaning of those words and where they were used elsewhere, and that's what we're going to study the next few times, about this mystery of the pre-Adamic age and why it had to be. I don't remember how much we studied last time. Did we study anything?
We talked about the fact that it actually is 6,000 years and one day, and that one day happens to be about 40 billion years ago.
15 billion.
Okay, give or take 35.
25.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't. That's not what I said.
A billion here, a billion there.
I know, that's what I said.
Yeah, you changed it up slightly. That's the problem. We're saying what I said.
No, I didn't say what you said. I said what I said, and my math was bad.
But so anyway, everybody got a Bible? Go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the word, and we're going to study that in a minute, but I just want to start with studying the word and. the word W-A-W, wah, in Hebrew. And it can mean hand, or it's a common word. But because there's no question, if you really, the King James translators had no reason to be concerned about the pre-Adamic age, because they had no evidence that the earth was more than a few thousand years old. The word and should be here, it should be but, because elsewhere it's translated but a lot. You can imagine how many times the word and is used in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. But here it should be translated but. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, but here, now, the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Created is the word bara, and it's a strange word, and it means something from nothing. Normally, when the word, now in the future, when it says, and God made man and all that other stuff, he uses a different word. He uses asa in Hebrew. But bara means to create something from nothing. In the beginning, God created something from nothing. And it was the heaven and the earth. But when the story starts, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Now, so there is a period of time that is countless thousands of years. Current thinking thinks it's about 14 and a half billion years since the universe was created. Now, it's, as they've gone with the more and more powerful telescopes, they've seen farther back in time. Now they're seeing back in time about 14.5 billion years. Do you understand what that means? I don't really, but I kind of do. So we have essentially billions of years. There's no question in my mind that there's no evidence of evolution. It just doesn't exist to me, in anything that I know about. There's no question that from Genesis 1, from 1-2, until now is about 6,000 years. But the time before Genesis 1 and Genesis 1-2 is countless billions of years. And so what was going on in that time? And that's what we're going to try to see if we can figure out tonight. All right?
Yes.
Now, the word without form and void in Hebrew is tohu abohu. Now, it means void. Without form doesn't mean like it had no form and it was nothing. It means that it was chaos and waste is what tohu abohu can be translated. It was chaos and waste. Now, I want to show you a couple things. Let's go to Isaiah 45.
Chaos meaning without order?
Yeah.
Sounds like a rock band.
You're not going to be like Harry and make all kinds of spiritual references to music, are you?
I don't think anybody could top Harry. That would be superfluous. I'll make references to computers. Will that make you happier?
No.
Hal.
Absolutely.
Just go to one verse. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord God that created the heaven, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. Not tohu. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. Now, that scripture alone would indicate that. But let's go to some others. Let's go to Jeremiah 4. Now here, again, Jeremiah is lamenting. And he's looking from God's perspective. In verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were gone. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places were wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Now, this is one of the places where it says, I beheld no man. And the earth was without form and void, the same as it says in Genesis 1, 2. So, in the Spirit of God, God took Jeremiah all the way back before the beginning and showed him this total and abject destruction that had happened. It was without form and void and darkness. And there was no man. Now, why did this happen? What happened back then? Well, I believe it was the age of Lucifer, or the pre-Adamic age. And Lucifer means the light bearer, and you'll see that he was incredibly beautiful and more, I mean, he was, from what we'll read in a minute, he was like God's favorite angel. But he had to be more than an angel because he had the capacity of disobeying. Now, so did all of the angels that followed him. They had the capacity to disobey God. The angels of God now don't have the capacity to disobey.
Did they follow him, or were they cast down with him?
Either way, they followed him.
You're in Jeremiah 4?
Right now, I'm in 4:23.
4:23.
Well, I was there. I'm not there anymore. I just went back there, though. What, do you have a question about it?
No, because I was looking for it.
I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens had no light. Same darkness upon the face of the deep. Now,
what about 25?
And that's what you said. Behold, there was no man.
And all
the
birds
of heaven were gone.
Oh, well, this one says were fled.
Well, fled just means gone.
Oh, okay.
There was the we'll see in a minute.
Okay.
That everything in that there was a flood that was so massive. And a cataclysm that was so complete that it destroyed every living thing. every living thing. Now that what? Noah's flood didn't destroy every living thing. But this destroyed all plant life, all birds, all.
Do you think Jeremiah is looking back in time?
Yeah.
Since,
And do we have evidence of that pre-flood? I mean, we did.
Yeah, just the cataclysm that separated the continents. Remember, do you know that all the continents were once all one landmass?
I
mean, they proved that by tectonic plates.
Yeah.
It's easy to see from fitting them together how they fit together.
And a cataclysm happened. Well, probably first what happened is a cataclysm happened. And it probably could have been comets or who knows what it was. But the land masses started to separate. And if it was a comet, then the dust, or it could have been volcanoes or whatever. But anyway, it covered the earth in this massive cloud of dust, and it formed an ice age like we've never seen. In the ice age, there was no light at all. And so the ice got colder and colder and colder, and it killed everything. So it was a cataclysm of some sort that totally destroyed life as we know it on the planet Earth and modified and changed the nature of the Earth. In fact, there's some evidence that indicates that when that happened, that change happened 120 million years ago when the magnetic pole of the Earth was because you can tell there's I can't go into all because I'm not smart enough, but
you're saying the cataclysm was then about that time?
Yeah, at least that time.
Oh, okay.
120 million years.
Which is what caused the tilt in the pole.
The axis of the Earth and the polar
position.
But we can't even imagine such a cataclysm. And they say 65 million years ago. I mean, we know that the 120 million years ago, not necessarily is when it tilted. We know that about 65 million years ago there was a comet, a huge comet, that probably created the Gulf of Mexico. They think that could have destroyed all the animals or the fossils, the dinosaurs and stuff. Now there's this guy over here at Glen Rose?
Yeah.
The Creationist
Fossil
Museum.
Rim. Yeah.
And they say in that museum that they found what looked like a human footprint next to a dinosaur's footprint and that's a big deal. I mean, it proves that man, blah, blah, blah. But what the footprint they found probably was one of Lucifer's kingdom. And that's where we get all these Cro-Magnon men and all these ancient fossils that look really ugly. This is where we get the genetic memory of gargoyles on churches because they're trying to scare away the demons, you understand? Did I talk about last time why God had to have Lucifer fall and the demons exist?
No.
God saw the end of the movie. So in the beginning, he created everything. In the first creation, it was perfect and beautiful. And it was created to be, and it says, we'll see in a little bit, that Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden, not as a snake, but as this incredible being. So God knew what was going to happen. God knew that Lucifer would fall. He knew that all of this age of Lucifer would be spiritualized because they ate both. Remember when they ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life? And it was so evil that God couldn't even complete that sentence in Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. And so that had to happen so that the seed of Christ could be fully tested in him first and in us later. So that the demons the Lucifer kingdom and these spirits are all locked in space without regard to time. And so Christ had to be tested in time and space, and he was the temptation of Satan that tested him in time and space and in all the other stuff that happened as Son of Man, a Son of God. And then, remember, he wasn't baptized until he began the ministry. And the baptism prefigured his death. It was his burial before he was killed, to prefigure, to create this space of 42 months that's talked about, the 3.5 years. That's always the time, it's a time period throughout the scriptures, it's always the opportunity to repent. It's always the opportunity to repent. And in my thinking, it's the time between believing in Christ to believing, or to living by the faith of Christ. And it's typified in this period of time between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab, and all these other things that are in the Bible. But there had to be a test in time and space, and then there had to be a test in space alone. And the demons are locked, Lucifer's kingdom is locked in space without regard to time. And so Christ had to be tested to see if anything in that realm could pull him off the mercy seat. And we had to be tested also to see if anything in that realm can pull us off the mercy seat. So that when the bride is fully tested, prepared, well, she's prepared as a bride for her husband. She has on only the righteousness of Christ, nothing else. She has not any fears. She's seeing their rod and their staff, they comfort her. It's no fear, not even sudden fear shall come upon her. But it had to be a test in each of those environments. That's why the Trinity. God is God in eternity. He's the Holy Spirit in space without regard to time. And he's Jesus Christ in time and space. Amen. I better understand a little bit. Now, I'm not sure that's the exact definition of Trinity, but it's my definition. Because it's three in one. As long as time and space exists, then it's let us make man in our image and likeness. Elohim. Ask questions if it's not groggy.
Why, you said you wanted to talk about why Satan had to be cast.
Mm-hmm. I just did. Because there had to be a test in space without regard to time. So there had to be beings in that environment. And that's what the age of Lucifer was. It created those beings that ate both of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil and were instantly spiritualized. They can't enter eternity, but they were spiritualized in terms of locked into space without regard to time.
You're saying they had to be, that had to be so that the test could...
So that Christ would be tested in all environments.
Okay.
And we would be tested in all environments. Okay. The bride would be tested in all.
But tying that to the pre-Adamic times, that epoch or that era was everything up to 6,000 years ago?
Yeah.
Locked in space, but not locked in time, means they can move through time.
Right, that's why that idiot demon that got me told me every sin I ever committed.
No, the thing I was thinking about is that you've said before that hell was an eternity of self-seeking with an accusing heart, and if you're locked in
as long as time lasts.
Right, but if you're locked in space and freely able to move in time, you can go backwards and forwards and relive every stupid thing you ever did in your whole life.
Right, and you always are at a place
sounds like
of, yeah.
Sounds like chaos to me.
Again. This, I'm just telling you what I believe. Now, there's no way. I mean, I think I can prove some of it in the scripture, but I can't. It's not necessary for salvation. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
just this what I'm reciting tonight is just my opinion, what I've gleaned from scriptures.
So the pyramids are probably how old?
Well, no, they're not. The pyramids were just built before the flood. They were more than likely, we know pretty much when they were built.
Mm-hmm.
They were built around 2,500 years before Christ, which was just before the flood. But not the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
The others were built after that. But.
And we know that everything did not perish, or everything was not destroyed, and every living thing did not die during the Noah's flood because...
Well, because it says it didn't.
Right, and the evidence of...
You want to get to there now?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there were fish.
Let's go to... Huh?
There were fish.
Mm-hmm. Well,
plus there are 8
things.
People on a boat.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Genesis 8. This is probably going to take us a couple weeks or more. But is this interesting to anybody?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, the only reason I'm concentrating on it is because it was so important to me. The idea that if the Bible's taught that the earth was 6,000 years old, like all those idiots that I met when I first became a believer, then I was going to throw the whole thing out. Genesis 8. Well, he's been in the ark about a year or something, and anyway. And it came to, in verse 6, it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him in the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, her mouth was in an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. So the point of it is it didn't kill everything. There was life, there were fishes, there was all kinds of stuff. All right? What?
Oh, I just thought of something that...
You left.
I did. I thought of something that I'll ask you about later.
What?
Well, about something needed to be repaired next door. So I did leave. And you caught it.
But so it had to do... There's an olive branch right there.
Yeah.
Do you understand? This, people don't... I mean... You know, certain people can leave, and it doesn't bother me. Like, but when people that I want to hear leave, then I know it, and I can't explain why. It just feels like air is left out of the balloon or something.
Yeah. That's freaky. But yes, I'll be back now.
Welcome back.
All right. Had a good trip.
So let's go to Genesis. I said verse 11, right? Yeah, now let's go to verse 22. Well, and while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease. But anyway, there were all kinds of vines and leaves and creeping things and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's go to Noah 9.
Genesis?
Noah 9.
I mean, the Genesis 9. No. Shut up.
I'm on it. Noah 9. I love Noah 9.
Everything that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. The point was, is there are all kinds of plants, plant life. Nothing had been destroyed. Now let's go to 2 Peter. We're just looking at a couple of them. The The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his coming? A better translation, you can look it up, is where is the evidence of his presence?
Prove it. Right. Everybody wants proof.
And
proof.
Saying, where is the promise of his coming or evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Means everything died. So he's talking not about Noah's flood, but about the pre-Adamic flood. Okay? And this flood was massive.
Chapter 3.
Now there's all kinds of stories, even about Noah's flood, about the Rephaim, which were the, the time of Noah, when the daughters of men slept with the sons of God or the angels, and they created the giants like Goliath.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I don't like that book. I mean, yeah. I guess about giving back to Nick liked it. He thought I might like it.
It's a lot of carny, hokum, sorcery, circus.
But anyway,
kind of like TBN.
The stories in the Talmud are about these giants that, there's a couple of them named Og and somebody else, that they hung on to the Ark of Noah for days trying to save their life, but they finally all drowned. But just, there's a lot of stories about these giants. The Rephaim is what the New Testament, I mean the Old Testament calls them. These weren't, this is not pre-Adamic guys.
What about the Nephtali?
The same thing. The Rephaim and the Nephtali. They're both offspring of this, the sons of God and the daughters of men at Noah's time.
Sons of Lucifer?
No.
Sons of God.
So what does that
angels.
Mean?
Right. But a third of all angels were cast down with or followed Satan.
No, what happened was, there's a membrane, if you will, between time and space alone. And that membrane is, I think, at one time thinner than it is now.
Porous, maybe?
Now it's a great gulf that no man can pass over. But if you believe in Genesis 7 and 8, the sons of God, or the angels, desired the women of men, and they came and had sex with those women. And it created this unbelievable evil, and that's really why the flood came, to destroy them, because God could not permit the same thing that happened in the pre-Adamic age to be repeated.
Were they Norwegians?
That's so wrong. Okay, let me see if I get this. So, sons of God, meaning
angels.
These angels that God created, kind of like Lucifer, they left their place, came to earth, and were with Adam's descendants. Okay.
That's what it says in Genesis 7 and 8.
And all these Lucifer became Satan, and Satan, Hebrew?
Yeah, there's a verse that actually says
the Hebrew word, Satan.
Came to the son, met, mixed with his daughter.
In Hebrew, it's ha-satan. And ha-satan, it's now a name, but it means the accuser. And that's his job. No, that accuser, his child, if you will, is in you, in your mind. That's your mind. That's where your mind never stops accusing you until you quit paying attention to anything your mind says.
And since when we read this, it is in the now.
Yes.
We read what?
Well, the Bible. The scripture. It's in the now.
Yeah, because, well, again, because of the way the Hebrew read it.
Right. But that is not something that can happen again.
No. But you still read it. That is talking about a singular time in the past, just like the pre-Adamic age is a singular time in the past. We're not asked to live that, but we are asked to be Eve, who ate of the fruit of the knowledge. We are asked to be Cain, who killed Abel. We are at the, and again, it's a slight difference in the ancient Hebrew that very rarely does anything ever history. But in the context, as you read the scriptures, when God said, "Let there be light," God is saying, "Let there be light." And so it's always the eternal now, and that's the way their minds accepted it, because that's the language they learned. Modern Hebrew is nothing like that. And so that's why, but again, in terms of languages that have gone farthest and farthest and farthest and farthest and farthest and farthest and farthest away from that ability to see and hear this eternal now, we, English, is the farthest of all. Because it has way too many descriptive adjectives, and it has way too many verb tenses.
Garbage, a lot of garbage. A lot of superfluous garbage.
And so our minds are created. We are in our language, we are created to believe that we are something special. By English, we are created for ownership.
Mm.
And that language is created for ownership. That's why the English, both in England and America, had these great empires, because there was no, in Hebrew there's no word for ownership. You can't own something. All you can say is something is near me.
Instead of possessing.
The idea that we would own something in God's kingdom is just absolutely insane.
That's why even Native Americans, the Indians, were so, sure, you can have Manhattan for what's selling land. You can't sell land.
Well, they did sell it, though. That's why, every language...
They didn't get the whole contractual thing.
Well, every language since the ancient Hebrew has been a departure. I believe Hebrew was the first... ancient Hebrew was the first language. And I think you can prove it. Francis Ralston proved it in that book. That because of... you can see the roots in Hebrew in all languages, all ancient languages, Sanskrit, Chinese, everything.
So, God created the heavens and the creation. Creating is making, creating something from nothing.
That's bara, create something from nothing.
And making is...
Asa, is rearranging.
Okay, and God has always existed, and he created himself.
No.
Let's talk about that mystery.
That's a question of immense stupidity.
Good, let's talk about it.
Well, because it's tautological that if there is a God, that he was pre-existent. That's the definition of God.
But it's not circular, and it's not an infinite Mobius strip. It's now. Yes,
he was pre-existent before the now, before the Mobius strip, and before every parallel. Now, when was that pre-existent? When did that pre-existence start? Well, we only have a hint because of the age of the Earth. We know it was at least close to 15 billion years ago. But time, you can't see that. The reason you can ask that question is you see time.
If you think time is bigger than God, then you can ask the question of which came first. But if God is bigger than time, then the question makes no sense at all, because there was no time to do it in.
God is.
And was. And forever shall be.
You're putting time into it again.
Right. No, I did not want to.
Listen,
carefully.
Listen, no, you made a mistake in that.
No, that's
God is.
Right.
Jesus Christ is and was and shall be. God is.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
That's but where we are tonight, I didn't want to not ask that.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad you asked it. I'm just
okay, so God is, and then Jesus Christ was, is, and will be.
Right.
And, okay, so.
But in the beginning was the Word,
yeah.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So it's two.
No.
It's one.
There's one. There's three in one. That's the Trinity. God the Father is in eternity. God the Holy Spirit is in space without regard to time. Mm-hmm. And God the Holy in time and space is Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh.
Okay.
But He's always the same God. And there's no separation. That's why we, and let's go to John 14. This is the end result of all those questions. We've read this verse several times. Read it again. Verse 20. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Now what day? The way you stop seeing time.
Which one is it? 14?
14, verse 20.
20.
20.
At that day, what day?
20.
The day the seventh angel stands in you and says, time shall be no longer. At that day, when you no longer need time for anything, time is just a great whore. That's why dispensationalism is so evil. Because it worships time. And that's why my friend J.W. calls the dispensationalist churches whorehouses. Which I wouldn't say such a thing, but
not after seven.
Anyhow,
PM.
We're didn't even go to second. Did we go to Second Peter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We
saw
did.
That everything
second
was
Peter
destroyed.
Three.
All right. We got to go to one place before we do it, and then we'll come back and look at stuff. We got to go to Ezekiel 28. All right. Yeah, 28. Here the king of Tyrus is a metaphor for Satan.
Ezekiel 28?
Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, or these precious stones that sparkle fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy death, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring to thee and bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Never shalt thou be anymore. Now there's an interesting word that we're going to just take a look at tonight, and then we will spend some more. We got to spend more time than I thought on this. Yes. I thought we'd just go zipping on through this. Zipping isn't in our language here.
Zippity doo-dah.
That's good.
Tom, you could have just let that one alone.
I know, but it felt good.
We're going to mosey. We'll mosey.
We're moseying.
Traffic?
What?
Which word are we looking at?
You want to look at traffic?
I do, but what other word were you thinking of, or looking at?
I haven't told you yet.
I know, I'm asking.
Why did you say anything about traffic?
Because it caught me.
Traffic means trade.
Okay.
You're trafficking something.
Okay.
What is a covering angel? What's that?
That's what he was. He possessed the covering of the Father, and he covered everybody that was with him. Okay, we got to spend more time on this. I can tell already. I assume people know too much. I've learned that I'm not going to do that again.
It's good to ask. No, it's good to get basic. You know, like you said, the basics to begin it, but also ask the obvious.
Oh, great. Okay, but we're going to study in verse 18.
Okay.
After traffic, forget traffic. Go to therefore. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. Now the midst is, it's what happens when two are divided, when one is divided into two. That's what the meaning of the word midst is. Now, this is what happens, not just in Satan or Lucifer here, but it's what happens to his people, his minions, his you. God, in his wisdom, separated your brain. So it's conscious and subconscious. And the midst, that's what he did. He put a fire in the midst of us, too, so that our conscious mind is at war with our subconscious mind. And they, until you find out and win the war, and find out your conscious mind is just stupidity, it's going to be a fire that finally you will see yourself as dust and ashes and you repent. And that's what it says. And I'll bring thee to, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. When you see who you are, you see the emptiness and futility of all your mind and thoughts and actions. Then the scripture has been brought to fulfillment in you. You have been brought, I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now, most people don't behold thee. They'd never dream. They were, their mind was a child of Satan. I mean, you sons of the sorcerer, you see the generation of vipers. The generation of vipers is a nice sounding thing, but it's powerful as sons of the snake, but that's what it means. Now that's, he's talking to our minds. After the fall, we became sons of the serpent.
We're sons of man.
Huh?
I was just wondering, yeah, we're sons of man. And, but weren't those the ones that came down to Moses, well, Noah and his daughters and saw they were beautiful?
No, back to, not to Moab, to before Noah.
Before.
He saw the sons of man.
How were they destroyed by the flood if they were
angelic, demonic?
Well, they weren't. They were, the angels weren't destroyed, their offspring were.
The crossbreed.
The crossbreed.
The giants.
Because they were human.
Well, they were half human. They were half breeds. Again, this is, in my mind, the story of the giants in the book of, in the chapter, a seventh and eighth chapter, of coming down and having intercourse with the sons of, with the daughters of men, is a little strange.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't really looked at that because it didn't bother me.
Well, but it's there.
Right, but I haven't looked at it. But what did bother me is the age of the earth. Yeah. That's why we're studying it. So I don't want to study this angelic beings and daughters of men. It's too disgusting to think about right now.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Huh?
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, why did you bring it up?
Yeah.
Let me think.
Well, it was confusing.
Well, it confuses me too. It's disgusting.
So is there a reason why it's there then?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's a reason, but I'm not smart enough right now. I haven't studied it.
Oh, okay. No, you cannot.
We'll be done in a minute. You need to go to the bathroom?
You need to
go to the bathroom?
No.
Okay. We'll be done in a minute. So my point is, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, the division. It shall devour thee, and will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee.
And who are, in the sight of whom?
You.
Who will behold thee?
You. But until that happens, you can't. You will just be like those before Job, when he said, I've heard, now up until his time, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I abhor myself. And I repent in sackcloth and ashes. That means he saw himself as the ashes. And he saw himself as the sackcloth that was the covering of the animals that they just killed. Anyway, I thought that midst of them was interesting. Mm. Now, there's probably this is enough for tonight. We just hadn't even scratched the surface.
But it's very dense. It's very really good.
Mm. Okay, so because I don't forget, and I hope I don't. But in 19, I guess we can talk about what that is. The people shall be astonished at thee.
Yeah, because you're astonished. The idea, I was astounded to find out I was the Antichrist. I didn't like it, and I thought it was a lie.
And how is Christ revealed in that?
Huh?
And How is Christ revealed in that?
That I was the Antichrist?
In that, yes.
By repentance. That finding out your ashes. That's what repentance is. Ashes, yeah. Unless you know your ashes, you were dead, you deserve to be burned.
Smudged.
You don't have any hope of understanding.
I wonder if this accounts for why having your ashes hauled is so much fun.
What the hell does that mean?
Oh, good. Never mind then.
That's an old army.
I have, some people, not all people, have always told me, oh, you're special. I could just never, it's like, I don't see it. I don't feel it.
No, that's crap.
Yeah.
But I guess I could like believe it.
No,
right?
You believed. I promise you believed it when you were little.
Shoot, no.
Oh yes, you did.
I was never told I was special.
No.
I was told I was an idiot.
No. I'm talking about when you were young. Every person. But the very earliest time when they can first start thinking about self. Every person that's ever lived believed they were special. And they are. But they don't know what they have to go through to get there. Mm. You have to go through your death.
Yeah.
But by that, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, that's the highest thing that man can do. There's nothing, there's no accomplishment, there's no money, there's nothing that can compare with. That's the reason you were born. That's the capstone of the pyramid.
As opposed to the cornerstone of a skyscraper.
What the hell does that mean?
You're at the bottom of the pile under all this massive granite, the Tower of Babel instead of the capstone. My own little thing. It's okay. I'm tracking.
He's doing Harry from a construction point of view.
At least he didn't say what all he meant to say was.
you know, Kent used to be in my Bible study.
He got thrown out for rearranging all the deck chairs on the Titanic.
No, he kept for saying what all he
what really
was trying to say. He did it over and over and over again.
I've never done that,
and
I
still
never would. I don't need to. Or I'll go teach my own little copy class. There are no stupid questions. Yes, there are, and I will be not afraid to ask them.
All right, that's enough for tonight. Anybody
very
have
good,
any?
Very, that's night. Great night.
Any questions?